the Ramban wonders about the difference between the brachos in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah says that, you know, if you observe the mitzvos, tishma b'koli, then God will grant you plenty, satiation of your food, there won't be illness, there won't be anyone, a woman, to lose her baby, and so forth and so on. And the brachos here in B'chukosai, which are really identical, although they're more lengthy, but what's the fundamental difference? And the Ramban presents the following thesis, if I can sort of try to summarize it, capsulize his purpose. The situation in Shmos is the yachid, is the individual. Here we're dealing with the klal. And there are two different types of hashgach, of supervision. The supervision over the yachid is a temporary one. As long as he's a tzaddik, he will be under divine supervision, hashgacha pratis. That hashgacha is really a ness, it's a miracle. And all the blessings that are bestowed upon him in Parshas Mishpatim are all God changing teva to make sure that the tzaddik is well taken care of. But it's a ness nistar. Says Ramban, no one could publicly say that because that individual is living a good life, that therefore God is involved. He's intervening in a supernatural way. So the supernatural method that God is using is within nature, and there's no way that publicly we could prove and demonstrate God and his hashgacha within the context of the brachos in Parshas Mishpat. The Ramban adds another point. He says, there are some Rishayim who are evildoers, and yet they live a good life. That's called Rasha V'Tovla. So how are you going to prove from this tzaddik that because he's living a very, you know, very protected life, that therefore this is God's intervention? We could find Rishayim who are living the same kind of life, and yet they are certainly Rishayim. What happens here in B'chukosai, says the Ramban, is we're not talking about individuals, we're talking about the klal. We're talking about all the people together. He quotes the passage of the Amech Kulam Tzaddikim, that if the Jewish people are on this level, which is going to happen later on, then there'll be protection for the entire nation. He says that's not something that you can assume is irrelevant to divine intervention. That's something that absolutely proves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could it be that an entire nation, an entire land, has rain and plentiful, and no one is having these kind of illnesses or you know, losing children, or, you know, young and so forth and so on? And not only that, he says it's li'olam. It's not a temporary, it's a permanent thing. So the permanence and the universal nature of the klal itself is an absolute proof of the divine intervention, the divine hashgach. And he quotes the pasuk, "V'anu ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem v'ro kol ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra." Even the ame ha'aretz, even the non-Jewish people, will see that this is impossible based on nature. At the end of this long presentation, which you'll take a look on page 2, actually on the bottom of page 1, he says, "Va'klal ki bios Yisrael shleimim vein rabim." In other words, if the people of Israel live on this level of dedication to Hashem as an entire community, lo yisnaig inyonim b'teva klal, then there won't be any natural order of causality affecting them. Lo begufam, lo beartzam, lo bechlolam, lo beyachid mehem. No one will have to suffer. There'll be bracha bestowed upon everyone. Yivarech Hashem lachmam umemam, their food and their drink. Yasir machlam ikibnel, God will remove any illness from amongst them. And here's where he starts going on a tirade against the physicians. He says, "Achalo yitztarchu l'rofe." They won't go. They won't visit a physician. Ulishtamir b'derech midarcher fuz klal. but rather it will revert back, Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, Almighty God, you are the Rofe. And that's what's going to be going on at the time that the prophecy will be fulfilled, and the nation of Israel are righteous tzaddikim. And ki yikram avon sheyichlu lo yidushu berofim, if they sin, and as a direct result of sin, they will take illness, they will take ill, then they won't bother going to a physician. He's not the one who's going to cure them, because the cause of their disease is sin. Chak b'neviim, but rather they'll go to the holy people, the pious people, the prophets of Israel, as we saw in Malachim, in the case of Chizkiyahu HaNavi, who when he took ill, he went, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he went to the Navi. And then he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim referring to the end of days, Gam bechol yo lo darash es Hashem ki berofim, that those who at that period of time, when they take ill, would, instead of asking God for health and healing, would visit the Rofim. That's a terrible thing.
Why does he only pick on Rafua? You can talk about wealth, you can talk about anything with regards to this.
Okay, that's an excellent question. Let's take a look at his tirade. He says, Aval in the bottom, Hadorish Hashem Benovi lo yidrush berofim. He says the Rofim have no place and no function within Klal Yisrael. Ma chelek b'Rofim? What are they doing here? Who invited the physicians, the bias in within the house, meaning the community, of Osei Ritzon Hashem, of those who fulfill the will of God? Because after all, God has commanded the bracha and guaranteed Uberech Hashem Slachu Kasmi Mecha Vesirosi Machla Mikir B'chem. So what are the Rofim going to do? They're going to try to improve your food and your drink. They're going to try to tell you to be careful and do this and not do that and warn you. But at the end of the day, since Hashem has already promised that since you're a nation of tzaddikim, then He'll remove all these illnesses for you. The food that you eat will be healthy food, will be clean and pure and free of germs. What do you need the Rofim for? And he goes on to quote a whole bunch of sources that say that it's really not right to rely on the Rofim. He says in the next paragraph that when the Gemara says in Brachos, V'rapo yirapi mikanshin nitna reshus l'rofe l'rapos, lo amra shenitna reshus l'chole l'hisrapos. This is a phenomenal chiddush of the Ramban. He says, Chazal never actually claim that there's permission for a sick person to seek out a physician. Ella, but rather, what is the Torah, what are Chazal saying? V'ropi y'rapi mikan shenit nurshus l'rofi l'rapos. Kevan shechola hachola. If he fell ill. Ubala hisrapos. He comes knocking at the door of the rofe. Ki nohag b'refuos, because he puts his mental state into that of refuos, meaning instead of relying upon Almighty God to achieve his cure, he relies on the Rofim. Then ein l'rofe lesar aksu b'refuoso. Then the Rofe should not prohibit himself or enjoin himself or abstain from administering medical help. He says that the reason why the Torah had to give reshus to a rofe, even though at the end of the day Hashem is really the one who cures, and this ill person, if he goes to the rofe, if the rofe, you know, believes in himself too much, he may at the end of the day cause his death. Let the Rofe be an expert in his field. He's the top guy in his discipline of medicine, in that area of medicine. But what one thing has to be guaranteed, lo ba'avur shiyomer ki Hashem levado hu Rofe kol basar, the Rofe will not say, look, I'm not going to use my talents and my knowledge in order to give you recommendations and help cure you, because God will take care of you. No. Shekvar Nagu. Once the Jewish people are going in this way, and they rely on the help of the Rofim, so Nitna Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos. He's a bucky, he doesn't have to be afraid that he'll inadvertently kill the patient. You know, when you think about it, it's a tremendous responsibility on the shoulders of a physician. Let's say he's not the expert in the field. So why shouldn't this patient go to the expert, the top guy? And by taking on this responsibility of serving the role of the physician of this patient, he may cause the patient to get less than the best medical care that he possibly can. So the Ramban says, look, once we are knowing berfuos, meaning the people rely on Rofim, the Torah gave permission, it's not an ideal situation, it's not the way it should be. Al kein ha-noshim ha-nitzim shehiku zed zeh be-evno be-egrosh, that's a parsha in Mishpatim, yesh ha-makit ha-shlumei erfuos. Why do we force the assailant, you know, he who assaulted his friend, to pay doctor's fees? Ki atara lo tismok dineho ala nisim. Because the way our legal system is structured, we're going to assume that everything operates within the natural physical causality. But in truth, aval b'ritzos Hashem darkei ish, When man finally achieves the level of fulfilling God's will, ein lo esek berofim. A very strong language of the Ramban. And in this tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, he writes, Odos divrei Ramban ala Torah parshas b'chukosai shem mevayr b'mamorim zalv rapi rapi kandit nishus l'rofe who b'daika avolo ala chole. In other words, if you're very careful about reading it, the rofe is allowed to give, but not the chole. The larapos lo amru. It doesn't say that the patient has permission to seek out medical help. Lo amru shenitna rishus lechole lehisrapos el kevin shechola hachole ubal lehisrapos kinad berfuos. For who lo me'adas Hashem, and he's not really living up to the standards of the community of Israel. Shechelkom b'chayim, that they live in the context of life, is ein l'rofe lesser atzim refuoso. The kashal zeh diim kein tzarech lios l'fiza hadin she'ein l'chal Shabbos avur kriyas rofe v'achanes trufos. In other words, if in the end of the day we're only giving permission to the rofe because this fellow is coming and knocking on his door, but in truth it's not permissible for him to knock on the door, so why is it permissible for him to call up a doctor on Shabbos and violate the Shabbos? Okay, once he knocks on the door of the rofe and he's knowing berfuos, he doesn't have this reliability on Hashem, reliance on Hashem, then the rofe is allowed to be mechal shabbos. But what about the chole himself, who's taking steps and violating thereby the Shabbos in order to get himself to the rofe? Ukvar ra'isi b'sefer she'elas Yaakov. I'm not familiar with the sefer. She'omer al kachu maksha she'im kedas ramban sherefua he kitzer emuno bitoch b'Hashem. If indeed we accept the position of the Ramban that medicine is a lack of faith and reliance on Hashem. Echi tira haTorah lechal Shabbos v'yom kippur v'shel cholish yesh bo sakana. Tahainu gam leso perfuosa. And this sefer called Shelas Yaakov was so perturbed by this question, v'nishar b'tzarchiyu. And now that Tzitz Eliezer spends page after page to reinterpret the Ramban, he says, "Burishona tzarech lios borer." He says, "Right off the start, I want you to be crystal clear. The aim lahalos b'shumpanim aladas. You shouldn't even entertain this thought on your mind. Don't let it cross your mind. Machshava kazos shalafi shitas Ramban ala Torah ye'asul lecholish yesh bo sakana levakeish lechal Shabbos b'kriyas arofi v'achanas atrufas ki ze neged Talmudar." It's against Gemara explicitly. Not only that, he says, "A Ramban bi atzmo b'sefer Toras HaAdam, which is one of the Kisvei Ramban, Shar HaSakana, Koveya Bruros, V'Kosei Mefurosh Bazel Loshen Aval Hai Rishus, that which Chazal say Mikan Shenitna Rishus L'Rofe, Rishus the Mitzvahu, U'Bechlal Pikuach Nefeshu, Kedisnan Machilin Osal Pibikim, U'Tnan Nami HaChoshesh Bepiv, Matilin Lo Sam B'Shabbos, Kulam B'Drochim Shal B'Leches HaRefuos Osim Osam B'Shabbos, the Efshal Adasos on Ella Al Pi Chochmas HaRefua, V'Holu Mechal Shabbos B'Refuos, Shmami Lo Bechal Pikuach Nefesh Hem, U'Pikuach Nefesh Mitzvah Rabbihi V'Hazoriz HaRezim Meshubah. And then he goes on to say that if a rofe sheyodeh b'chokhmas harfua chayavu l'rapos v'imona atzmo ha'reza shofet tomin, says that Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer of Oldenburg harei ha'ramban b'atzmo kom v'zem nefurash v'mechal and Shabbos harfuas b'chal pikuach nefesh ad kidei kach ha'yaposhut b'yeno, meaning it was simple in the eyes of the Ramban without question, ad shemizeh shemechal and Shabbos harfuas who ochiach the mitzvahs ripui, who mitzvah bechlal pikuach nefesh. And he goes on and on and on to try to reinterpret the Ramban. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, that this generated a lot of controversy, and the truth of the matter is that if you read the Ramban in a simple way, you get the impression on the surface of it that the Ramban is against refuah. It's only the Torah is sort of reconciling itself with the reality that people are seeking out refuah, but that's not really what it's supposed to be. I believe, frankly, that you should see the Ramban as presenting two historical periods. In other words, this historical period of time in which the Jewish people are living really under Teva, and all the nisim are nisim nistarim, so we have to operate within the law of causality, and we have to earn a living, and we have to till the land and reap the this, and we have to go to Rofim, etc., etc. But the Ramban gets very extreme when he talks about that future period of time.
Only with regards to the refuah, though.
No, but I think, you know, elsewhere, we'll see, I don't know if we'll see it tonight, but Joe, remind me that in other Rambans, he feels that it goes way beyond the, you know, refuah. Well, let's talk about the rains, for example. That's right here on page 2. Yeah.
What about the possibility that he's talking about they had these traveling doctors in those days? I mean, I don't know if that was exactly in his days. These guys who would be like doctors going from town to town. And people would go out to
Rochlin or something like that. Yeah.
And people would go out to them, you know, to get healed for whatever it was. It wasn't necessarily that they were sick, but they were going out to these guys like soothsayers or whatever it was. So, because he says very clearly, somebody who you're going to them, not that they're coming, what he's objecting to is that you're going to them and relying on them. He's saying that the rofe is coming to the person. A rofe has no obligation or reshus to go to a person and say, "Let me heal you." It's only that a person has the ability to come to the rofe to heal him like that. So the fact that these guys are going from town to town and saying, "I'm coming to you to heal whatever bothers you or whatever."
Right, but
maybe that's what he's taking.
I don't think the Ramban is talking about soothsayers. I that would be a real stretch in the Ramban.
Okay.
I just tell you one thing about my Rebbe Zichronov, Rav Soloveitchik. He would seek out the best medical treatment he could. I always say that it's not coincidental that he chose Boston to live in, because Boston in the United States is one of the major centers of medicine for many different areas. I mean, there are other centers too, New York and Houston, Texas, and many others, Milwaukee, other places, each one has its own area of expertise, but Boston is up there on top. And the Rav, they say, read up any issue, like when his wife, Mishra Esther Peace, was sick, he would astound the doctors, because even the surgeons, he had read up so much on the disease, he knew more than the doctors did, almost. But certainly, he would support any sort of approach to emphasize how important it is to seek out the best medical, make sure you get the top doctors, not necessarily for a cold, for a common cold, but I'm saying if it's a serious illness. But it's just fascinating to me that in the ideal vision of the Ramban's mind of what the end of days is going to look like, you know, I wouldn't want to be a doctor, you know what I'm saying? In the Ramban's vision, I would not be making a good parnasa, you know? And the Ramban himself was a physician. Okay, let's see if we can hop around in the next 10 minutes a couple more Rambans here. First of all, V'nasati gishmechem be'itam, says the Ramban, hikdim, of all the brachos here listed, the beautiful brachos, the first one up front is Geshem. Ki bevoam be'itam, because when the rains fall in their time, look at this beautiful vision of rain, you know, in the Ramban. You know, here we tend to kvetch, it rains, it doesn't stop raining, it's schlepp. But look at the Ramban's vision. He says, bevoam be'itam, kasher ye'os. He says, when they come in the right time, as it should be, yeah, ha'avir zach. Look at the implication, the repercussions of good, healthy rain in its proper time. It purifies the air. Vitov, and it's good for the entire land. Vama'ainos va'noros tovim. All of a sudden, the springs and the rivers are good. V'yezes sibas bria l'gufa. He says this really ultimately brings a state of health for the body. Vapiros kulam yirbu, and of course the fruits are growing, you know, plentifully. These baruchu behem, and the people are blessed through these fruits. Kasher yoma, as the pasuk says a little later on, v'nasata ha'aretz yivula, the land will give forth its produce. V'eitz ha'sadeh yitein piryo. V'hine imze lo yech la'adam. Once we get to this point where the air is pure, the food is healthy and plentiful, no one's going to get sick anymore. So this is really the origin of hell, of the, all the blessings of health is in the rain. Lo yev mashkela, they won't lose the young, Rechman Tzan, or Akara, or a woman who can't be barren. In other words, it's going to affect the entire universe, the entire lower sphere of where man lives and where animals live. Why should anyone have a stillborn if he's healthy, if she's healthy, if there's health? Yamali Yameyam, they'll live to older age. Why? Since the bodies will live, excuse me, will grow to their maximum as they should, healthy, and therefore, you know, let's say man has a certain potential longevity, he's going to reach that longevity. It's kaimu kimeona. He'll live as long as Adam Arishon would live. I was taken by this. I bolded it. That of all the blessings, the Ramban puts as the first, as the greatest, rain. Vehine Omar, ki hashamayim ya'anu es ha'aretz b'gishamim b'itam. This is a pasuk in Tanakh. I think it's in Hosea, if I'm not mistaken. And what the Ramban is trying to convey here, by quoting this pasuk, is that the heavens, meaning the spiritual spheres of the divinity of God, are basically answering and responding to the need of the land by providing rains in their proper time. And as a result, ha'aretz ta'ane es yivula, the land itself, the universe, responds in tune and produces. And it affects every single dimension of the lowest sphere of man. Tzemach, vegetation, bali nefesh truah, which means the animals that have a little bit of a soul that allows them mobility. Behema, chaya, remes, oaf, the birds. Everybody is out there producing and healthy and everything's well. Gam hadogim. Interesting. This is a chiddush of the Ramban. That the rains, when they come in their proper time, will have an impact on the fish. Why? Ki ha'aretz, the word aretz here in this pasuk, tichlol, it incorporates, includes within it hakadur hatachton kulo, everything in this lowest sphere, even the seas and the fish in the seas. Kimo, and he quotes the word aretz in many places in Tanakh, which refers to the entire sphere of the natural universe. Breishis baral kimas hashmayim ves ha'aretz. That doesn't just refer to the land; it refers to everything in between the land and the heavens. Or vayichu hashamayim va'aretz, you know, when the process of creation came to a termination, v'chein haluas Hashem in ha'aretz, which includes taninim, v'chol tahomos, So Aretz includes the rivers and the seas and the springs and the birds and the animals and even the fish. Everything in this world comes under the term, is included in Haaretz. V'chein berov hamakomos hakosuv. And this you'll find. V'hinei kol ha-toldot ha-shebetachtonim yibul Haaretz. Everything that creeps and lives within the context of this universe of ours, it's all called Yibul Haaretz, and all that will be blessed when the rains come in their time. And I want to just add this statement in Chazal. It's a very famous Gemara in Tainis. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Gadol Yom Geshamim. Now, if we could only appreciate a day of rain, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where we need it so badly. Ki Yom Shenit Nevo Torah. That's interesting. Statement, you know, as we come close to Chag HaShavuos, the day of Matan Torah, and he quotes Psukim to prove that. Rav Amar Yosef Yom Shenit Nevo Torah. There are other statements of Chazal that Geshamim are as great as creation itself, Ma'aseh Bereishis. So all this, I think, is a source for the Ramban's very, very extreme passionate enthusiasm about Geshamim Be'itam.
Goes back to what the Ramban says about the rain itself, right? Looking towards Hashem, wasn't that the Ramban?
Yeah, the rains connect the upper spheres right. With us, that Hashem is showing us right. His connection. That's what you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's just look quickly at this last Ramban, we'll see what we can fit in. V'nasati shalom ba'aretz ushchavtem v'yein machrid. And then it says v'shbati chayara amen ha'aretz. There will no longer be these animals of prey that destroy man and attack man. The cherev l'tav v'yartzachem. So first the Ramban says, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz yishon v'neichem. Interesting. So the first blessing is inner peace, meaning there won't be internal factions and bickering and battles. Ish b'yachiv. Within Chas Shalom, the Jewish people. And this is something that we're praying for all the time, that there should be harmony and unity within the people of Israel. And then Ramban says, but maybe even Asati Shalom Ba'aretz refers to what comes after this. V'hu Osha Shalom Hu Shiashbit Chayara Amen Aretz. Okay. So in the next paragraph, he quotes the Sifra. The Sifra quotes Rabbi Yehuda. What does it mean? Vishbati chayara amen aretz maviran min olam. It means take this pasuk literally, which means that there will no longer be these animals on the face of the earth. Hu kipshuto, says Ramban. Rabbi Yehuda takes this pasuk at simple, you know, straightforward interpretation. Shelo yavo chayos roos biartzachem. They won't come, these animals that prey on man and attack man, into your land. Kibios hasova. Oh, listen to this. The Ramban is going to connect this with Pasuk Dalet, two psukim earlier, where the Ramban interpreted that as a result of the rains, everything is growing, everything is fruitful, everything is healthy. He says, Kibios hasova, since the rains are falling and there's plenty of food, Uvervos hatova, and all the good, plentiful blessings upon man, then what's going to be? V'hayos ha'orim b'leos adam. The cities are inhabited by masses of people. And why is that? Because there's plenty of food, people are healthy, so they inhabit the cities, the urban centers. Lo tavono chayos b'yishuv. The animals will not go into the human inhabited areas. So if there's no rains and people are living in sort of a wilderness kind of condition, you know, they don't have food to eat and the population is sparse, then the animals come in. That's according to Rabbi Yehud. The animals are out. You won't see them. Valdas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is quoted in the Sifra. He has a whole different take on this. Omar mashbiton shalo yaziku. The word mashbiton, which comes from the word shvisa, that to terminate, it means their propensity to attack and prey and pounce upon their victims, that will cease to exist. There'll be shvisa from the very attribute of that animal as an animal of prey. Then according to the the Pshat in Rabbi Shimon, there's a separate blessing, a new miracle that's supernatural, that's going to change the entire nature of animals. Says the Ramban, who are not on. And if you ask me, I'm on the I vote for Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Why? Ki tia eretz Yisrael beis kira mitzvahs, when the Jewish people will serve God in the land of Israel, and we all have to say amen. You know, we're waiting for this to happen. Kasher hoya ha'olam mitchilaso, the world will revert back to its teva as it was created. Kodem cheto shel adam rishon. In other words, the Ramban is saying that there were three periods of time. There's period of time number one, creation, that lasts until the chet of Adam HaRishon. Period number two is post-chet Adam HaRishon, where we have a situation in which the animals are preying upon man. And then finally, in the third period of time, we're going to revert back to what it was originally in nature, and the animals will not attack man. Ein chaya v'remes meimis Adam, where there's no living creature that will victimize man. And that's what the Gemara means when it says ein arod meimis ela chet meimis. Any kind of damage or death that'll happen to man will always be a result of sin, not just the nature and the animals attacking them or anything like that. So could you imagine sharks in the ocean that are all of a sudden become placid and you can have your own pet shark or your own pet lion or something like that. V'zeh shomer ha'kasuv, and he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. Okay, we don't have time for the pasuk in Yeshaya, that's very complicated. But then he quotes another pasuk that says, ki lo haya ha'teref b'chayos haroz. The only reason why before this period of time, the animals would evilly rip apart man, pounce and prey upon man, is only for one reason. Rak mivnei cheto shel adam, because of Adam HaRishon. Ki nigzar olav, the divine decree upon him was, lios teref l'shinem, that man would be victimized and how should I say, eaten by at the teeth of animals. Husam ha'teref teva lahem. Now the animals become by nature these torfos, you know, animals that tear flesh apart. Gam lichov zed, say even the propensity of an animal to attack another animal, according to the Ramban, is a result of chet Adam HaRishon. Ki b'tarfam ha'adam pam achas yosifu lios royim yoser. And then once they attack man once, it becomes part of the nature of the animal that he comes back to attack. Like the grizzly bear, you know, that they showed us in the Rockies, you know, that the ranger, or what's the, you know, she wears the uniform for the Parks Department or whatever. So she was showing us, you know, what was left. It, you know, they kept it beautifully, a grizzly bear. I mean, it was alive, you know, it was once alive. And we asked the story about the grizzly bear. She says, well, they had a campsite and they left the meat on the, you know, out overnight. They didn't put it away. So this grizzly bear smelled the meat and attacked the meat. And when they found this out, the rangers and so forth, they took the animal away and they put it far away. And no matter where they put the animal, the grizzly bear kept coming back to the same site, you know, looking for meat. Vehine says, Rambam b'briyoso shel olam nemar v'chayos shenosel hem ha'esev li'ochlo. If you look carefully and read the psukim meticulously, the food that was given for the animals in the original creation was vegetation, right? Yerek esev liochla. V'yomar kosva yichain, that this actually came to pass the way God had commanded it. Ki hu ateva shahusam behem laad. In other words, the natural state of the animal is not to eat the flesh of other animals or of man, and that's inherently, essentially part of the animal. But after kach lomdu ateref, but then later on, when man, as a result of his sin, would suffer even death as a victim to the animals, lomdu ateref, they sort of, in a temporary sort of way, changed their propensity or their natural abhorrence to attack man. But ukshehuta shchitas balichayim l'bnei Noach. So the Ramban is bothered here. Why is it that after Noah comes out of the teva, Hashem has to put the fear into the hearts of the animals that they shouldn't attack man? Says Ramban, because when Noah came out of the teva, Hashem permitted, he gave license to man to slaughter, to kill animals for food, and therefore he warned man, Achas dimchem l'ashchisur edros just nefesh ha'adam. Because again, the animals had changed their nature in such a way that now they were pouncing and preying upon other animals. Nisharu al manhagam litrov, that original propensity that came as a result of the chet adam arishon, like we shouldn't call it original, but as a result of to attack other animals, that remained in the nature of animals even after the teva, after Noach, the Mabel, who beos Eretz Yisrael al Shlemus, when the land of Israel reached this perfection at the time of Mashiach, and the Jewish people would be dedicated, Tishbos Ras Min Hogam V'yamdu al Teva Arishon Asum Zabeis Yitzirosam. Ramban says that ultimately the animals will go back and revert to their original Teva. So it's this again, all part of this idyllic view and vision of the Mos HaMashiach of the Ramban, when the animals will be placid, they'll be domesticated, they'll be friendly, and no one will have to be afraid of the animals. Okay then?